Blog Talk Radio.
His brother.
Covers on Blog Talk Radio 858-947-6607. Press 1 to talk to the host. The chat room is now open. I just opened up the chat room on No Covers. We're coming to you live out of the Fort City of Wilmington, North Carolina this morning. We always say that because we want you to always remember 1898. We want you to study the 1898 riots in Wilmington. And proud to say we're coming on the airwaves out of Wilmington now after such a massacre in 1898, that we still have the voice of Black America shouting loud down in Wilmington, North Carolina. Welcome all the listeners to No Covers on Blog Talk, and welcome those in the chat room this morning. Black History as we always do each and every morning. Got a couple new interesting items in Black History today. You know, I always got to have my music on.
Playback!
Gotta have some kind of music in the background to get Black History out. Black History this morning. Interesting. Martin Luther King's assassin, James Earl Ray, was caught this morning, June 8th, 1968. James Earl Ray was caught. And the interesting thing about this is that he was caught on the same day, the anniversary of Martin Luther King and Coretta's marriage. They got married on June 8, 1953. Martin Luther King, Coretta Scott, got married on June 8, 1953. And on June 8, 1968, James Earl Ray was found in the airport trying to smuggle out, having escaped. Go back and you want to do some interesting research, interesting history, go study the history of James Earl Ray. And when you're studying the history of James Earl Ray, go look at his past before the shooting or the assassination of Dr. King. Look at his profile. His profile fits no way the profile of a person that was had any kind of sentiment other than crime. So James Earl Ray being upset with King and planning his assassination is ridiculous. It was definitely a plot, as we know, as history shows us, and even as James Earl Ray said before he died. So go back, and I think it's an interesting history to study. Wilmington, North Carolina, history today. History in Wilmington, North Carolina. Interesting history. Robert R. Taylor. Robert R. Taylor. You all in Wilmington, North Carolina may be familiar with Taylor Homes. Taylor Homes is over on the, and they rebuilt it recently. New senior section in Taylor Homes and new development. Go down the old Taylor Homes and rebuilt them. Robert R. Taylor was an American architect. And the interesting thing is he was one of the first American architects and one of the first to graduate from MIT. He was born in Wilmington, came from a middle-class family. His father was the son of a white slave owner, had a black mother. His father was allowed to go on business for himself before the Civil War, building cargo ships for trade routes between the United States and South America throughout the Caribbean. He also built many commercial and residential homes. Robert Taylor's schooling took place right here in Wilmington at Williston School and Gregory Institute. And at that time, the Williston and the Gregory Institute was a school operated and maintained by the American Missionary Association. After graduating, he worked with his father some in the trade business. And then he was admitted in September of 1888. He was admitted as a freshman at MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT. Taylor earned great records at MIT. Listen to the classes that he earned honors in: trigonometry, architectural history, differential calculus, and applied mechanics. Listen to that again. He earned honors in trigonometry, architectural history, differential calculus, and applied mechanics. Robert Taylor. He never failed a course. Twice recommended for the Lorraine Scholarship. And he also left there, went to work as an architect and an educator at Tuskegee Institute. Taylor is known for designing most of the buildings, including the original chapel and library at Tuskegee that were built between 1899 and 1902. Worked at a Cleveland architectural firm for a short time and then later retired. Robert Taylor, architect of the Tuskegee Institute, and we also know that later Tuskegee became the site for the Tuskegee Airmen, which was Red Wings, and Robert S. Taylor died later in the chapel at Tuskegee, collapsed on December the 13th, 1942. So today in Wilmington, North Carolina, we honor the birth of Robert Taylor. We honor the birth of Robert Taylor and his achievements at MIT. And we also honor the achievement at Williston and Gregory Institute, a school that was closed down in history, and a school in which on our local papers here in Wilmington, the Wilmington 10 have been fighting for their case to be overturned by the governor, a case that's gone some 40 years, where they were accused of inciting riots and causing the death here in Wilmington, the bombing of a grocery store here in Wilmington, and just celebrating that life. We understand when you look at Robert Taylor what they were actually fighting for. The Wilmington 10 were actually fighting to keep the legacy of Robert Taylor alive, the legacy where that a black child could be educated correctly, educated with passion, educated with love, educated with care, educated in a manner that was deserving of a human being. The Wilmington 10 were fighting to keep more Robert Taylors becoming a part of American history, becoming a part of black history. Here's a man that graduated from an all-black school, was educated in an all-black school right here in this town, went on to MIT and graduated with honors and went on to build most of Tuskegee Institute. He did so because his early education background was one that gave him the knowledge and the power to build. So we're celebrating Robert Taylor today, but we're also celebrating Wilmington 10's fight to keep the memory of Robert Taylor alive, because that school, Williston, having moved to Wilmington, North Carolina, I now understand, after studying the history of Wilmington, what that school meant to the city and how education changed drastically when they went from Williston to the schools that we have today. Working in the school environment and the education environment in this city, I see the educational problem in America and throughout this country. Fortunately, I was able to homeschool most of my children up until high school. And then at high school, I was able to send them not to regular high school, but to advanced high school, which was called early college. I lucked up. I was financially able to homeschool my children. And then I saw opportunities in the early college program, was able to send them to the early college program. I say again, I lucked up, because most blacks in this town, or most blacks in this country, don't have the ability to do that. don't have the knowledge base to see the importance to do that, to make sure that their children are educated by them, are educated in an environment that is conducive for their growth and development. I'm going to say this publicly, and I'm going to say this as a person who has associated with the school system and works oftentimes with the school system. The school system in this county and the school systems throughout America do not and will not have the best interest of black children at their heart. They cannot, because there's no way they can have that best interest at heart and still provide a product. And then let me explain to you what I mean. Go back to going into my subject matter, and if you want to tune in, just press one and tune in, because I'm going to go back into what I went to today, because today's topic was getting rid of gray matter. I'm going to explain to you what I mean in a minute. My statement I just made was that the school system does not and cannot have black children's best interests at heart. And there is a reason why. There's an economical reason why. Our community is so destroyed that when our children leave our homes and go off to school, they are destroyed. And the school system does not have the resources, though there may be some teachers and principals in the school system that want to, they cannot. They do not have the resources to fix the student that's coming to their school. Are you saying that black children are damaged? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Hell, you and I are damaged as black parents. So if the black parent is damaged, if the black man and woman is damaged, why wouldn't the product of the black man and woman also be damaged? Their children. If we crazy, messed up in the head, don't know acknowledge yourself. One of the first books written by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was Message to the Black Man and Woman in America. The reason why he wrote that was because we were damaged. Dr. Carter G. Woodson, The Miseducation of the Negro. Why did he write that? Because we were damaged. Frances West, The ISIS Paper. Why did she write those books? Because we are damaged. Books that are coming out by scholars addressing the needs of the black community are written because we are damaged. 400 years of involuntary servitude to this country has damaged us as a people. So the product that we're producing every day, though we go into the 9 months of labor, though we have what they call a successful birth, the time in the womb is damaged. 90% of us as black people don't even know how to produce a child. We don't know what to keep the mother from, what foods to eat, what to drink, what to smoke, what not to smoke. So we produce a child into a world that's damaged because we haven't been trained properly how to produce a child. So when we don't produce a child right in the world, then the child comes into a community that's damaged, that's messed up in the head. The child comes in the community that's messed up in the head, damaged. The child is damaged. So the school system is sitting here trying to educate damaged goods. The children are coming to the school system damaged. So the teacher is sitting there, the principal is sitting there, and our children are going to these schools. The school system does not have the money or the resources to go in the community and fix the damage of the community and then try to deal with our damaged children. So the only way you can possibly hope that they would have some kind of chance at life is to put them in an environment. That's why if we don't homeschool, we have to have our own schools, because the black child has to be put in an environment to fix the damage that 400 years of involuntary servitude in this country that has done to that child, and then place them in the hands of some institution, maybe. But you can't expect that the end result, when they walk across that stage at graduation, as they're doing in the next weeks, they're walking across the stage of graduation, and we're saying, oh, that's my baby. Yeah, that's my baby with a diploma that don't mean anything because they didn't learn anything, because they went from the process at kindergarten damaged, and the school system has been trying to work with them for 12 years damaged and try to produce a finished product that's undamaged. It's impossible. We must educate our own. And I'm going to get to gray matter in a minute, but I'm going to deal with the gray matter and what I was leading to today. But let me get this call at 7562. 7562, caller, you on air? 7562? We had a call at 7562. I'm going to put that call on hold and come back. Now, what was I getting into on the damage? And call at 7562 if you want to call in, just call, hit back. I was dealing with gray matter today. And this came from the conversation yesterday. And I got an email that was not responsive to my approach that we need to put our hands on children. And we need to put our hands on our children. Let me say it particular. I said our children, because I really don't care too much, and I can say that because I'm paying for the airtime. I really don't care too much about the other stuff. I care about our children because our children are damaged. We are damaged, so I'm trying to fix the damage. Gray matter. A brother shared this with me. I take this gray matter from a brother, and he happened to be using a term. He was saying, we got to get rid of gray words. And at first, I thought he was just being sarcastic, but then I understood what he was saying. So we got to start getting rid of gray words. Might, maybe. Either yes or no. Either it's right or wrong. And gray words produce what is known as gray matter. Gray matter are thoughts that are gray. Gray matter. It's either right or wrong. So when I got the email yesterday that came that I shouldn't be talking about putting hands on children in my position or the type of work that I do, you're not dealing with an idiot. When I'm not coming to the ass an idiot. Don't send me emails like I'm an idiot. Don't even waste your time. I know better to put my hands on a child when I'm working. I know better than if I'm on a job, don't put my hands on a child. I know better if I'm in the school system, don't put my hands on a child. But I know some of these children need to put a hand, somebody need to put a hand on them. And I'm encouraging parents, before you send them to school at night, put your hands on them. I can still encourage that. I can encourage when they come home and they done cussed out a principal or cussed out a teacher or talked back to an adult. Put your hand on them. I can still encourage that. See, we done got so wussy. We done got so wussy that we can't say what need to be said because we scared. We get into these jobs and places of business, and we can't say what need. We done got wussy. I'm going to say what needs to be said. Some of these kids need their butt whooped. And I ain't scared. You're not going to send me no email to scare me off the air because I say a child might need their butt whooped. We done got so wussy. And we got a generation of children that we've now produced because we've gotten soft on our discipline process. Time out. Punishment. I'm going to cut the TV off for 2-3 days. But they're going to play Xbox for 3 days. They can't watch TV for 3 days, but they can play Xbox. Or they can have a cell phone and play games on that for 3 days. We got wussy. We have gotten, and so you get mad because No, I'm getting rid of gray matter. It's either right or wrong. And I'm going to continue on that in a minute. 6542, you on there?
Yes, sir. How you doing, brother?
I thought that was you, Batman.
Yes, sir. Hey, man, you're right. You're exactly right, man. And so what Solomon said, you spare a rod, you spoil the child. And that's exactly what's going on in the community, man. We're not like as strong as we used to with the discipline with our children. You know, back in the days when the neighborhood would discipline the child, it wouldn't be just the mama or the daddy. Everybody looked out for that one child. And I think that's an African proverb, too. It would take a village to raise a child. And like you're saying, man, we kind of strayed away from that.
It's one of them gray areas.
Yes, sir.
It's a gray area. It's like it's either right or it's a wrong way. We got to. I'm trying to get us to get rid of gray areas. I'm gonna leave this in. Let me see if 752 is still here. 752, you back on? 7562. Yeah, I lost 7562. They were home. I'm gonna tell you where I'm going with this, brother.
Yes, sir.
Now we start with these gray areas with discipline, right?
Right.
Now let me show you where it leads to. All right. Since I got you on there, I'm glad you called in this morning because you addressed this. You're gonna hit this right on the head. All right. Now, I publicly don't mind talking about myself because I'm an open book. People that know me know that, so I don't mind talking about myself. A couple years ago, about a year and a half ago, I was out in my crazy land of undisciplined behavior. Let's call it undisciplined behavior. Let's say Dowie went off his rocker for a second and, you know, doing stuff he had no business. So, got myself caught up with a DWI. Drinking a little bit more. Shouldn't have been drinking at all. No better. Know my dietary laws. Know my discipline. But I took a break away from it for a minute and got kind of overboard. So, in my days of ignorance, I'm out there acting a fool. And got caught with a DWI. So, if you know that, and that's there, that's a problem. Now, if you start knowing me, you know me, right?
Yes, sir.
So, if you saw me walking down Castle Street, right? And
right.
You see me walking down Castle Street, and you see that looks like Dowd over there. And I got a fifth of gin in my hand. And I'm walking down Castle Street. What you gonna say?
Man, I asked you if you're all right, man.
So, brother, you okay, brother?
Right.
I mean, I got a fifth of gin. I'm just walking down Castle Street with a fifth of gin in my hand.
Well, I know that this ain't like that. Woo, right? Yeah.
Something wrong with him, right?
What's wrong with this brother? Let me check on this brother.
Damn. If anybody else other than me, and it's just say normal behavior, if you saw somebody, you walk down the street, and a brother just sitting there walking down the street with a fifth of gin, and he pointed, you're going to look at him, you're going to do a double take.
Right.
Oh, but this man, it's 12 o'clock in the daytime, he got a fifth of gin out here. I'm going somewhere with this. It's a gray matter. Somebody pulls up to him, he said, guess what, it's legal. I can drink. It's legal. What is it about us as human beings? Let's go to human beings. What is it? Is it the law that we look at when it comes to drinking? What is it about us as human beings that condemn or don't shine light on drinking? What is it? I would say it's an innate law between us and God.
Yeah, I was just about to say that because, you know, that's one thing that people always say when it comes. You don't even have to say that, you know, it's not good to drink. You just be like, oh, I don't drink. And they'd be like, well, the Bible says it's okay to drink, you know. I mean, you don't have to do, you're not condemning them or condoning them, but the first thing that come out of their mouth is, oh, the Bible says it's okay to take a drink.
Try to justify
you might, brother, I agree with that.
But it's an innate law between us and God. There's certain things in our behavior. What I'm getting at, there are certain things that are between us and God that we know
he really don't shine his light on. At the end of the day, we know that. If I stick a needle up in my arm and I'm shooting her when I'm in my arm, at the end of the day, I know God don't like that.
Right.
If I go in the bathroom and snort cocaine, it ain't the law that tells me cocaine is wrong. At the end of the day, it's God's law that tells me cocaine is wrong when I put that cocaine up my nose. Correct?
Right.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's whatever man say, at the end of the day, there's a law between me and God, personal law, that
yes,
is born in us, that is innately in our nature, that we know what's right from wrong. We know what we're doing, we know how we're living, and we know when we're living right, and we know when we're living wrong. So
yes,
when we're born, the first time we ever tried to smoke, where did we do it? Did we do it in public?
No, sir.
We went around the corner and did it.
Yeah.
So nobody wouldn't see us. We didn't just sit down to the kitchen table, pop a cigarette in our mouth and light it up. No, if we ever tried to smoke, we went around the corner and tried to do it.
That's true.
There are certain things that is innately in us, that is biologically wired in us, that tells us this is wrong. We got to eliminate gray matter. I'm going to say this, and I'm putting it out there. The next time some homosexual make a pass at me, I'm going to bust them dead in the mouth.
Yes, sir.
I don't give a hoot ninny what Obama said. I don't care what court said. I don't care what your law said. The next time I ride a bus, the next time I go to a restaurant and you make a pass at me, if you're homosexual, I'm going to bust you dead in the mouth.
Yes, sir.
Because I got to get rid of all gray matter.
Right.
You done came out the closet now and you think it's okay to just subtly say something.
Right.
It ain't happening here. It's been on my mind to say it, but I said we got to get rid of gray matter. We have made it a gray matter with our males and our females. We have taken this topic and buried it under the table and said, okay, since we don't want to talk about it, we're going to leave it as a gray matter.
Right.
If you see me with that bottle, if you see me with that cocaine, if you see me with that heroin, you may say it's okay for me to come to the mosque, but you're going to try to correct my behavior. You may say it's okay for me to come to church, but you're going to try to correct my behavior. You're not going to let me walk up there and sit in the church on the front row and pull out a fifth of gin and drink it.
Right.
Even though the law say it's legal. You're not going to let me sit there in your church among your children and snort cocaine, even though some in the church do it.
Yes, sir.
You're not going to let me shoot heroin in your church or mosque and say it's okay, even though some do it. You're going to try to correct my behavior. Let me walk in any church in the country and sit there and go in my little bag and pour out my shaker and pour me up a tonic right quick and see how many people be ushering me to the door. Let me come in the masjid on Friday for prayer service and see how many people start ushering me to the door. So when I got the comment yesterday about the discipline, I said, oh, if you can't handle the discipline, you sure not going to handle what I'm going to say today.
Right.
Because I'm getting rid of gray matter.
Right.
You can't come up in there. So don't be coming up there as no choir director around my children with your homosexual activity.
Right.
And don't be trying to get me to justify it and say it's okay. No, I may accept you as a brother, I may accept you as a sister, and try to work on your behavior, but don't ask me to say it's okay.
Right.
Now, you're asking us now, with this newfound freedom, to say, they arguing about this couple that got married at Fort Polk Air Force Base in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
They got married in the chapel, and that's a big argument today. They got married, and that's what stirred my mind. And I'm sitting there the other day. And I can, you know, sometimes you don't know, you know. But I could have sworn
right.
this guy gave a wink at me. I could have sworn that's what he did. And I got kind of, you know, like, I probably about to go to jail up in here. No, this guy just ain't wink at me. No, I ain't, uh-uh. You ain't, no, you ain't got that much freedom, bro. I'm sorry. I don't want my son to experience that. I don't
right.
want my daughter to experience that. And I got to say that and get rid of gray matter. I think what we're doing is we're leaving it as gray matter and say, well, I'm here. I'm listening to the church. Ever since Obama's come out with this thing, yes, I'm gonna accept the I'm gonna accept the premise that yeah, okay, they still my brother and sister. I'm gonna accept them just like I accept the alcoholic.
Right.
I'm gonna accept them just like I accept the crackhead. I'm gonna accept them just like I accept the heroin addict. I'm gonna accept them as human beings. But don't think I'm not gonna try to change that behavior.
Right, I mean, we try to change the behaviors of others that we know who lie, cheat, steal, or may rob. So why not?
The man,
it's only right.
The man slinging dope. The man slinging dope on the corner. You think I'm okay? All right, okay. So he come into Moss and he joined the ranks of the FY. So what he do? Osiris, did he get his bundle and go over there to the crack corner and sell crack all day? We gonna allow that?
No, sir.
Are we actually going to allow that? So I'm listening. If you go to my Facebook page, I'm going to post this thing again today. I got this Facebook page or this imam that made this comment on, he asked the question, is there a place for homosexuality in Islam? And y'all wondering how I got all the way from this. Yeah, I can do that sometimes. I get all the way from one subject to another. Yeah.
Hey, but hey, you right on point, though, because that deals with undiscipline, being undisciplined.
Exactly.
Time you go against your nature, you undisciplined.
Exactly.
So you're not off course.
So again, when I go back to putting my hands on some children, I'm trying to put my hands on them on an early earth so he don't so Johnny don't come into Janice at 18.
Exactly.
I'm trying to put my hands on Johnny at an early age.
Right, because they even have TV shows. Now, you got to be careful what you let your children watch on TV, too. Because remember that cartoon with farm animals or something like that?
Yeah.
There was a male, but he had titties. And he was a male cow, you know?
Yeah.
Think about what that's putting in the mindset of young boys who watching that. They began to accept the behavior. They don't see nothing wrong with it.
Exactly. I mean, you see him. I mean, we was on the corner the other day, and a group of teenagers came, and four of them came up. I couldn't tell who was who.
Right.
No, this is real. We on 23rd Street. And Princess, we at the store. Me and the brother at the store. And four of them came up. And we honestly couldn't tell who was who. We didn't know who was male and who was female.
Right.
We talking about 16 and 17. And we sitting here, oh, that's a gray matter. That's a matter of choice. I be damned.
Right.
Oh, okay, so my cocaine is a matter of choice. No, you going to say something about that.
Right, right.
My drinking is a matter of choice. No, you going to say, brother, you got a problem. You need to get that fixed. You drunk every day.
That's true.
I'm going to come to your living room and I'm going to come sit in your living room. You going to invite me for dinner, right? I'm at your house. You invite
right.
me to dinner. Your children sitting right there. I mean, I want us to look at this, man. Your children sitting right there at the dinner table, and we just finished eating dinner. And so dinner's over, and I take and go in my jacket and take out a syringe,
mm-hmm.
tie my arm up right there at the dinner table and shoot you know, shoot myself up. Get me, I'm gonna get me one right quick.
Right in front of the children.
You like, man, what's wrong with you? You don't you see my children sitting here?
Right.
Get out of my house, man. You got to go somewhere else. You can't put that around my kids. You're going to have a fit. I mean, you ain't going to speak to me the rest of your life. You never going
right.
to speak to me again. I sit there and pull out a needle and start shooting in front of your children, telling you, man, it's my choice, man. It's my thing. This is what I do. You know what I do, man.
Right.
You're going to have a fit. But then you turn around and boom. The TV show come on and he's right there in front of your children and it's okay. Two of them walking hand in hand and, you know, your child looking at it, next thing they know they grab hands. Let's grab hands like them. Oh, hell no!
That's where they start grooming them at, right there from the TV.
So it becomes either we're going to call it what it is or we're going to call it what it ain't. I mean, that's where we got to be today. And when I look at it from that perspective, when I look at it from all the other norms that we don't accept, I mean, all the other problems that we don't accept. See,
right.
And I didn't see it until, you know, we're in this study course right now on the restrictive law.
Yes, sir.
That's the beauty of the restrictive law that we have because there's no gray matter.
Right.
It eliminates the gray matter. It makes it clear what we can do and what we can't do. Our children have to be raised with that. I'm trying to get it's 757562. You back? He must have hit that button. You hit him. Seals going this morning, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I keep putting him back on. He hit that button. I was trying to get him in. He said he wanted to get in this morning. But we gotta keep it plain, man. That's a gray area, and I understand. You know, we don't want to be critical of the president right now because we're trying to get him in office. Gotta understand all that, man. But no, and I'm not homophobic. No, I ain't homophobic. I have a family member. We don't agree. I have a family member. He know I don't agree. We don't agree. He's still family.
Right.
You know, we don't agree. Because it ain't great. It ain't a great matter. It may be great for him. It ain't great for me. And if once you start getting rid of the gray matter in your own life, you can live a better life. That's what's the problem right now, brother. Most folks are scared to say something because it's gray in somebody else's life. So I don't want to say nothing about that because the person gonna say, I'm not homophobic. No, I'm not homophobic. You just ain't gonna wink at me. That ain't being homophobic.
We started getting scared to open up our mouths now, all of a sudden.
Yeah. That ain't being homophobic.
Right. Any other time, we'd be quick to open our mouth on the subject.
Yeah.
That ain't right. This ain't that. This is that. But when it comes to homosexuals, you're right. The mouths are closed.
No, I ain't got to close my mouth. I'm gonna say exactly how I feel. I mean, again. Like I said, we gotta be careful in the workplace. If I came into the workplace with alcohol in my breath, you're sending me home.
Exactly.
Because that's your policy. But see, I mean, if I came in the place trying to introduce certain clothes. If I wore to work, you're gonna send me home.
Right. And then they got the concept out there that homosexuals are happier in relationships. I mean, but the homosexuals and the lesbians that I know have worse problems than people who are straight. I mean, the women hop from one woman to another, and then the one woman who's the male, who acts as the male, she becomes just like a so-called male who the women don't like. So you don't like men, but your girlfriend walk around with a wife beater and her hat cocked to the side, sagging in her pants. And then she cheating on you with another girl. But these are the things that you condemn men for doing. But then you go and jump to a woman who's acting just like one that you condemn. I mean, that doesn't make sense.
It's a thing with guys. It's a simple biological issue for me. And I mean, all these science experts, it's a simple biological issue for me. I'm sorry, it's a biological issue. If all of us accept that behavior as norm, what's the end result? No more humans.
Right, death.
Death.
Extinction.
It's a simple biological equation for me. If you atheists that don't believe in God, if that is what science intended, intended for that to be the norm behavior, if it intended for that to be the acceptable behavior, if all of us chose it, what would happen? Extinction.
Yep.
When I see two male gorilla bears hanging out together, give me a call. When I see Mustafa and Simba hang, give me a call. When I see them hanging out together, give me a call. When I see two male lions walking the jungle together, holding paws, you give me a call. It's a simple biological issue for me. I'm gonna take it by take the Bible out. If y'all atheists, you want to take the Bible out, take it out. Okay, take it out. Take the Quran out. Move it out the way. I'm gonna move it out the way for you. Let's just use your science at that. Let's just use science. If every male and female accepted that behavior, what is the end result? Mathematically, you do the math. Extinction. It's nothing less than extinction because you cannot procreate.
Exactly. And then a lot of them want children. So they go and adopt.
Right.
So, I mean, even your own nature is kicking in and telling you that, yo, this ain't right.
Your nature's kicking in and telling you you're supposed to have children.
Exactly.
So I'm eliminating gray matter. It goes back, with us, it's going back to discipline. We go back, it's just like I said yesterday with that picture of South Africa, where here you have in South Africa, the children now have risen up on this president and come at him because of their artistic freedom. When we start bringing other things into a culture of a people, you will destroy that people. We are continually to be destroyed.
Yes.
And we are not disciplining our children early on. We're not even having these conversations in the home.
Right.
We're not even having conversations about this nature in children in our home.
Yes, sir.
Then we're sending them off to school with teachers. Now, I'm going to tell you what I do know. We're sending them off to teachers with that behavior. And their teachers have them 8 hours a day and are whispering in their ear, oh, it's okay for you to feel that way. You're just a little sensitive, aren't you? Don't let the other guys get you because you're sensitive. It's okay for you to be soft. that's a subtle seed.
Right.
That's a subtle seed. They know how to work it. The subtle seed is laid there. It's okay. He's just doing his. He's just expressing himself.
Right. That's what they say.
We had a couple of days ago in school, one of the schools I was at, and a young child. Oh, he's just expressing himself. And I'm looking at this child like, where is your father at, boy? I mean, this boy child is sixth grade, going to the sixth grade. And he's sixth grade saying, this is my sexual preference. At sixth grade.
Right.
It's a sixth grader saying, this is my preference. In the sixth grade. And we like, we can't talk about that. That's the issue we can't talk about because Obama has made that off limits because he's a black president and now they didn't label him and we ain't supposed to say nothing. No. That's a child that I want to save.
Right.
I'm not condemning them.
Just like I'm not going to condemn the alcoholic. Just like I'm going to condemn the coke dealer. Just like I'm not going to condemn the coke addict. I'm not going to condemn the heroin addict. But we're going to try to save them from their death and destruction.
Yes, sir.
It's our right to pull them out. And it's also our right. I'm going to say this again, church. I'm talking to the church this morning. I see some of you. It's our right to eliminate them from our general body until they correct that behavior. It's your duty to keep them away from your children until they eliminate that behavior. Just like you will keep the crack addict from your child until he eliminates that behavior.
Right.
You got a cousin. He a crackhead. He get to go to the store. He cousin. He your cousin. He a crackhead. He going to the store. Hey, Bro Roscoe, let me borrow your car. You going to give me your car?
No, sir.
It's your cousin, the crackhead. Your wallet in your car, your cell phone in the car, he a crackhead.
Right.
He won't buy your car.
Probably
but let me buy your car
said.
For a second. I'm going to run up to the store for a minute. You ain't going to give him your car?
No, sir.
Why are we giving these people our kids? Isn't
good
your
point,
child
man.
More important than your car?
That's right.
Your child should be more valuable than your car. You wouldn't give your crack addict your car. Oh, hey, Jimmy, go ahead and ride with Uncle Johnny to the store. Uncle Johnny, my Uncle Johnny crackhead. Oh, Jimmy, come on back here. Sit back down. I forgot Johnny crackhead.
Right.
You ain't going to let him ride to the store with your child? No, you're not going to do it. So surely your child is more important.
That's right.
Then allow him to... And what's that a cartoon? I don't even watch him half the time. I blink games to him, and sometimes you can see him. Potter Puff? Potter Girls?
Girls, yes, sir.
Man, what stuff these children watch on TV nowadays? And some of the movies are coming out now. I mean, I haven't watched television in a while, man, but some of the stuff is on TV now. Good Lord.
Yes, sir.
It's active behavior. And so now it's coming out the closet everywhere. It's like, okay, we free now. The president said we okay.
Right.
Yeah, you okay
and
with
I-
him. Still ain't okay with me yet.
Always keep in mind that this is by design. These scientists are making things like this. It ain't nothing that just naturally happened. They're designing this to happen. And that's why they are being successful, because they're planning it.
Well, scripture says they planning God plans, but surely God is the best of planners.
Right.
So, and that's why we own his air. Because he's the best of planners. We don't believe in no mystery God.
That's right.
We know we have to address things and get rid of gray matter. Because once you do that, you feel so much better. And then people know where you stand.
Right.
See, when people know where you stand, they don't come to you with a load of foolishness.
That's true.
People know you ain't going to... They know, oh, okay, see... I mean, I've watched. I have seen there are certain, I can be in white environments, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know how they tell certain jokes?
Yes, sir.
If I come around and certain jokes, they won't even, they catch themselves. Oh, better not tell that one.
Right, not in front of him.
I ain't going to tell that in front of him. If certain things, they know you're going to, I don't mind living like that. People like, well, you make, you have people afraid of you. I don't care. I want you to do, I don't want to go to jail, so I want you afraid to say that what you was giving to say that was going to get you popped in the mouth.
Right.
Yeah, I don't mind them being afraid. I don't mind. It's okay.
Yes,
going back over today's notes, Black History Today, we're celebrating as we wrap up for the day. Notes for this weekend, Robert Taylor. Remember, Wilmington, we're celebrating the history of Robert Taylor today. Make sure your children know about Robert Taylor as you're going through the day. If you're in Wilmington, make sure you, even if you want to ride by Robert Taylor Homes and tell them about the history of Robert Taylor from Williston, Williston Gregory Institute, went to MIT, graduated, made most of the constructions at Tuskegee University, first black architect to graduate from MIT. Robert Taylor, born here in Wilmington, North Carolina, this day, today. Also, this weekend, Juneteenth is coming up. I want to make that announcement for those. I think it's next weekend. It's next Saturday at the MLK Center, Juneteenth. And those who don't know what Juneteenth is, we're going to talk about Juneteenth on Monday. Tune in on Monday. We'll talk about Juneteenth and give you a history of Juneteenth and what it represents, what the history, what the celebration is all about when it comes to Juneteenth. So we try to give you some history on that. We'll be back in this weekend. Remember, Saturday is Lamar's Health Day. Saturday is Health Day Saturday because we know that's the day most of us have time to do our exercise and recreation. The pools in Wilmington, all city pools are now open. Got a couple passes up here also. Remember Monday, got a few slots left for going to the aquarium visit on Monday. If anyone's interested, give me a call here at Youth Enrichment Zone, where I work at. Give me a call there. Or give me a call on my cell phone. Also on, I think that's all the announcements. Sunday, Hillcrest, Stop the Violence Tour, Part 2. Hillcrest on Sunday, Stop the Violence Tour with the Nation of Islam will be in Hillcrest on Sunday for the Stop the Violence Tour, Part 2. Come out, you're welcome to come on board and join. And Sunday, remember on Sunday we have the Sunday morning wake-up call. 35, 40 minutes of power talk to wake you up. Spiritual messages to get you going for the morning. Remember, get that gray matter out of your life. Tune back in with us every day, 7 days a week on No Cover. Have a blessed weekend. See you on Monday.